Amen. I want to continue a little bit today with what we saw last Saturday, God pouring out His Ruach, and speak a little bit about faith and trust in God. Let me start off with this story. I've mentioned this, I said this story, I think, before, but in another context. But it's so appropriate here. You know, many years ago, a congregation met to pray for rain to release a long, dry spell. All the crops had been dying, and the harvest looked just destroyed. So the preacher stood up. It could be a messianic rabbi even. You never know. He stood up and looked severely at his flock. Let me look at you severely. Something like that. I don't know. I don't know how to look severely, I guess. What? I do? Okay. Anyway, so he looked severely at his flock and said, "Brothers and sisters, you know why we are here. Now, what I want to know is, where are your umbrellas? Where are your umbrellas?" You know, the same question here needs to be posed to each and every one of us here. Where are our umbrellas? Where is our faith to believe that the Lord's hand is upon this congregation, that the Lord is going to pour out signs and wonders and miracles, that El Shaddai, God Almighty, is going to provide for us a synagogue building? Where is our trust to believe that He is Adonai Yireh, that He is the Lord who provides? In other words, where is our faith to believe that God's Word here is true? And God's Word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And everything in the Lord is yes and amen. It says everything yes and amen in Messiah Yeshua. Now, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, he spoke in 2 Corinthians 1:18 through 20 these words. 1:18 through 20 in 2 Corinthians. "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Yeshua the Messiah, who was proclaimed among you by myself and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in Him it has always been yes. It has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in the Messiah. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." Thank you, Lord. You know that Hebrew word Amen that's spoken of right there by Rav Shaul literally means "so be it, truly and genuinely." Its first biblical occurrence is actually in the book of Numbers chapter 5 and verse 22, where it's used as an affirmation of a covenant. And it says in Numbers 5:22, "Then the woman is to say, Amen, so be it." This is the sense of that above scripture. When we accept Yeshua as our Lord, our Redeemer, as our Messiah, we enter into this covenantal relationship with the Lord. You know, we may break our part of the bargain. In fact, I guarantee that you're going to break your part of the bargain. But Amen, Adonai is faithful and He's true and He's genuine. And it doesn't depend on us. It totally and completely depends on Him. As His Word says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, "Let God be true even if every man is a liar." Let God be true. And I tell you, in the world we live today, and as we watch television, the radio, listen to radio, movies, whatever, the things we hear, the things on Facebook, all the social media, let me tell you, it appears to me that everyone is a liar, that everything is fake news, that you can't believe anything that you put your eyes on or you listen to. Everything is fake. Everything is a lie to deceive you. But let God be true and everyone else a liar. That's what we can depend on. That word amen is related to the Hebrew word aman. Aman. Aman means to be firm. It means to endure. It means to be faithful. It means to be true. It means stand fast, have belief. It means believe. This is our essence of our faith in Messiah Yeshua. It speaks of standing firm and enduring faithfully to the very end and believing in the one who saves and in the one who gives life and in the one who brings us victory and the one who brings blessing into our life. Can I get amen for that? Amen. So be it. He is the one. But there's a problem here. Here lies the problem. And the problem is we are a people without umbrellas. And I'm not looking at anyone who's, you didn't bring your umbrella. That's not what I'm talking about, Raymond. I see you got your umbrella. And that's good. That's good. The problem is we are people without umbrellas. That is, we're looking at it spiritually, okay? We're asking for the Lord to send His rain and His R-E-I-G-N, His reign, His kingdom. Send your rain, send your kingdom, but we don't even have an umbrella because we don't expect it to downpour. We just don't believe it. We don't expect it to happen. That's why we don't bring our umbrellas. That's why we're not prepared. That's why we don't receive it, because we just don't expect these things to happen. And you can be here and you say, yeah, I'm praying for a miracle. I'm praying for all these signs and these wonders and the outpouring of the Spirit of God in my midst and all that. But do you really believe that? Are you even prepared for that if it happened? What would you do if you saw a miracle? I mean, if you saw a dead person raised or someone who was completely crippled stand up and walk and run around the sanctuary, or someone who has cancer to be completely and totally set free from that, what would you do? Would you get on your knees and thank God, or would you run out screaming? Because you don't believe it. You don't believe it. Because we don't expect it to downpour. But we can't be praying for rain, and when it happens, or doesn't happen, it's because we don't expect it. We have to expect for these things to happen. We don't receive because we don't believe. We don't expect that He will give. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. We are people without faith, and the Lord's not happy with that. Isaiah 59 in verse 15 through 17, and also in Isaiah 63 verse 5, it expresses the very heart of God. The Lord looked and He was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one who would intervene. So His own arm worked salvation for Him, and His own righteousness sustained Him. And He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped Himself in zeal as in a cloak. And then in verse chapter 63, 5, it says, "And I looked, but there was no one to help. I was appalled that no one would give support. So my own arm worked salvation for me, and my own wrath sustained me." This is the heart of God right here. And God is displeased of our lack of faith. And He wants us to be a people who are expecting the rain to come. I'm expecting it. Yeah, I was so excited. The news last Saturday, we're having our Shavuot service. God's ministering. God's pouring out His blessing. And Joshua gets a text saying that Brian just received the Lord. And then the next day, he proposes to my daughter. And then all week, things are happening. And we hear from other people, things are happening. Expect it to happen. Expect it. It shouldn't be a bizarre thing. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't be surprised. You should not be surprised that God is going to do some amazing things here. You know, six times in the good news of Yeshua, Yeshua rebukes His Talmudim. He rebukes His disciples and say to them, "You of little faith." Six times He does it. Now, these are men who live side by side with Yeshua for a good 3 years. They experienced all the miracles. They saw the signs and wonders. They saw people raised from the dead. They saw the lame people walk. They saw blind people receive their sight. They saw lepers be totally cleansed and healed. They saw all these things. They saw Him command the wind and the waves. They saw this. Yet at every opportunity to exhibit saving faith, they failed miserably. And at Yeshua's death, they scattered as frightened children, as like chickens, fearing the Romans, fearing persecution, fearing death, and full of despair. Just this morning, and I sent it to some of the leadership here, I sent it to Josh, I think you also got it, Michael Brown. Everyone knows Michael Brown. He was in Jerusalem, and he was there to film for his television show. And you guys told me you saw it too. You read it. He's got a television show, and he's really an amazing guy. We've had the pleasure to sit under him in teachings, and he's an amazing guy. Anyway, he's in Jerusalem and filming, and he gets surrounded by the Orthodox, the ultra-Orthodox. And they're yelling and screaming at him, you know, calling him a missionary and get out of here. And it just gets wild and bizarre. And there's a YouTube video on it. Lord forgive them. They spit at the name of Yeshua. And we just pray. I just pray this morning for their salvation, that God would open up their eyes and reveal the truth to them, as it was 2,000 years ago when the Sadducees and the Pharisees denied Him and even cursed Him. But God will open up the eyes of the blind and set the captives free. And anyway, and they called the police, and he was taken down to the police station in Jerusalem because, you know, inciting a riot and being a missionary. And he was in the police station for like 3-4 hours and being questioned about the whole event. And by then, the video of this affair was on YouTube, and he showed it to the police, the video. Then they asked Michael Brown, in Israel, you can go to prison as a missionary if you're there trying to convince people to receive Yeshua. And you're doing that missionary work, or you even pay somebody money or give them money, they can actually put you in jail for that as a missionary in Israel. It's the law. Okay? So the person who was actually questioning him, interrogating him, asked him, "So, are you a missionary?" And he could have said, "No, I'm not a missionary. I'm just filming." He said, "Yes, I am a missionary to the Jewish people." And so the interrogator looked at him and said, "Good, I like missionaries." And they let him go. And then he walks out, and the ultra-Orthodox are out there again and yelling and screaming at him and this and that. And And they said, one of them said, why don't you go to Bethlehem and you know, preach over there or something. And he says, I am. I'm going to Bethlehem just this Sunday or something. And they're having a conference, an anti-Zionist conference, which is against Israel, against the Jewish people. And I'm speaking on behalf of Israel. And one of the ultra-Orthodox asked him, says, can we switch to Hebrew, you know, language? And he said, yeah. And he tells him in Hebrew, this is one time I'm going to pray for your success. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But at Yeshua's death, as I mentioned, they scattered. They were afraid of what could happen to them. And here's a good example. He did not, Michael Brown did not deny Yeshua and acknowledge, yes, he was a missionary. And we are all missionaries, every one of us in this room. That should be our job. You know, we pray for a synagogue building for the congregation. We pray for Adonai's intervention in our life. We're praying for healings, for blessings, for comfort, for his mercy. We pray for victories, for spiritual reign. We're praying for strength. We ask others to pray and intercede in our behalf. We read scriptures dealing with covenant promises. Yet we are, many of us are faithless people, full of disbelief and doubt. We have a lot of doubt. We're a faithless generation in need of regeneration. We need regeneration and transformation by the power of God's Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit. However, Yeshua asked each one of us today these words from Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 30. Matthew 9, 27 through 30. And it says, starting in verse 27, as Yeshua went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, Ben David. Have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and they said, and he said, according to your faith will it be done for you. And their sight was restored. You know, Amanda, I'm still praying for you all the time. And I'm believing that God is going to restore your sight. I don't know how. I don't understand this whole thing. But it's a matter of faith and trust in God. And he is a God of miracles. And let's all believe. Let's all of us believe and believe and believe for this miracle for Amanda. That's in God's appointed time. Yes. God's appointed time. The emphasis is belief and faith. Adonai is more than willing to give, but are we ready to believe and to receive? That is, receive in faith that what the Lord has said is yes and amen, and will surely come to pass. As surely as our sun brightens the day and the stars illuminate the night. Yet because we have so little faith, Yeshua said also in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Now a lot of you here are Floridians. And you know, some of you have maybe never even seen mountains before. Okay? I'm telling you, I know people in Florida who have never seen a mountain before in their life. All right? There are a lot of Floridians who've never left the state and they've never seen a mountain. Listen, I have seen the Rocky Mountains, okay? I lived in the Rocky Mountains for 20 some years. I lived in the Rockies. 25, more than 25 years, I lived in the Rocky Mountains. I know what a mountain is. To say for that giant mountain to be moved from here to there, and it will move, And he says, nothing will be impossible. Wow. Do we have that faith? I want that faith. I want that faith, and I hope I'm getting there. And I hope all of us are getting there. I remember flying into Portland a few years ago. Anyone ever been to Portland, Oregon? Okay, we got three, four people been there. Boy, when you fly into Portland, you see Mount Hood. I think it's Mount Hood, isn't it? Anyone know? I believe it's Mount Hood. And it's giant. And it doesn't matter if you're flying in the summertime, the top is covered with snow. It's so tall, so big. And thinking, wow, you mean if I say move, it's going to move? That's what he says, nothing is impossible. I hope I'm getting there. I hope we're all getting there. Yeshua also said in Matthew 13, starting in verse 31, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it's the smallest of your seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Thank you, Lord. That seed, like our faith, might start off very small. And a lot of times our faith does start very small, doesn't it? Sometimes it's just a teeny little bit of faith. But through endurance and in trust in the Lord, it can grow to great heights and be a blessing to other people. We must rebuke that spirit of fear and doubt in our lives and not be afraid to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Trust in Him with all of your heart. We must learn not to lean upon our own wisdom and our own strength, but stand on the solid rock of Yeshua. The rock that cannot be shaken and the ground that cannot be moved. That's Yeshua. And Peter said in 1 Peter 2:6 these words, for in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. This is a messianic scripture here from the Old Covenant. You know, we're approaching great days of evil and turmoil. I can even say we're in the midst of days of evil and turmoil. But it's going to be a lot worse. Can you imagine that? As wicked and ugly as this world is in so many areas, that it's going to get worse? Wow. Are we ready for that? Tribulation as the world has never seen, never known before. You look at all the genocides and the holocausts and all the murders and abuse and things going on in this world today and the poverty and the calamities and disasters and volcanoes, Hawaii volcanoes erupting and all over the main island in Hawaii and earthquakes happening, so many famines. We're beginning. And I think we're well into experiencing the time of Jacob's trouble, the scriptures talk about. And the birth pangs are beginning to be felt more and more in the world. If this is just the beginning, there's a whole lot more to come. These are the days which will require great faith from us and trust in the Lord. Days which may require us to make some really tough decisions, really hard decisions, which may put our lives in peril. And are we ready for that? Will we be ready for these days? Will we be prepared to take a stand for the kingdom of God? If they come to you, break in, knock your door down, are you a missionary? Do you believe in Yeshua the Messiah? What are you going to say? How many in this room? You need to think about that. How many, if they break that front door down and they're have rifles in their hand and they're pointing at you and they're saying, do you believe that Jesus, do you believe this Jesus, that He is the Son of God? Do you preach this? People are so quick to say yes, yes. Let me tell you, there's a number in this room today that will deny Yeshua. That's the truth. You might not like to hear it, but that's the truth and that's the reality. But those days are coming. It happens every day in some countries. I read about it all the time. In China, in some of the Arab countries, Muslim countries, this happens every day. And Christians are murdered and slaughtered and butchered every single day. Don't think you're going to miss out on that. Thank you, Lord. The day of Messiah Yeshua's return is closer than we realize. It says in Romans 13:12 that the night is nearly over and the day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of His light. Are we ready for that day? Do we have the faith that will sustain us through these difficult times? Will we run and scatter? Or will we have saving faith to trust God's hand of protection and blessing in our life? These are the questions that we all have to ask ourselves. As the Talmudim disciples asked Yeshua in Luke 17:5, or asked Him, Lord, increase our faith. Now, I pray that all the time. Lord, increase my faith. I don't have enough faith. Lord, increase my faith. And we all need to be praying, Lord, increase my faith. Luke 18:8 says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? When Yeshua returns, will He find faith in us? Or will He weep at our empty and our complacent lives? May we put on the armor as light and illuminate the darkness of this evil generation with love and faith. May He transform us by the power of His Ruach HaKodesh, His Spirit, to be vessels of love and hope to a world devastated by sin and debauchery. May He bring renewal to our minds and cleansing to our hearts that we may be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and His perfect will for our lives. I love this little saying here. Listen to it. And remember this. Doubt sees obstacles, but faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night, but faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions who believes, but faith answers I. We read in 1 Kings 18:41 through 46, Elijah speaking to King Ahab. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is a sound of heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. I've been right there. There's a beautiful stone statue of Elijah on Mount Carmel. I've seen it. Irene and I were there together. We saw it. And it has a scripture from 1 Kings in there. But on Mount Carmel. Who else has seen that? Anyone? One person has seen it back there. Need to go to Israel. When you're there and you see you're on Mount Carmel, you remember these scriptures from 1 Kings and he's battling the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth, and you get what we say in Yiddish, spilkies. It just, the inside of you, it just feels all, woo. You ever get like, woo? Yeah? The what? Goosebumps or whatever. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down to the ground and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There was nothing there, he said. Seven times Elijah said, go back. And the seventh time the servant replied, a cloud as small as a man's hand like this is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds and the wind rose. A heavy rain came on and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. And the power of Adonai came upon Elijah and he tucked in his cloak into his belt. And that old guy ran ahead. and passed up Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I don't remember the distance, but it was something like 50 miles or something or other. He just ran, passed him up, just like the Roadrunner and Coyote. Are you ready for the rain to come? The Lord's asking you, are you ready for the rain to come? Have you brought your umbrellas? Your spiritual umbrellas. Do you see with your spiritual eyes the rain clouds? If so, tuck in your cloak into your belt, prepared for the outpouring of His rain and His reign, His kingdom, His ruach, His spirit, and believe and trust for those signs and those wonders and those miracles to come. And as we learned earlier, amen, so be it. May God be true and every man a liar. God's word is alive. His word is active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a light to our path. It's a lamp unto our feet. And man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. That's the awesome God that we serve. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that I received this morning, that I enjoyed this morning. Thank you that you spoke to me, Lord. And I pray that you spoke to everyone else who's here, oh God. We just love you so much, Lord. And we do desire to have greater faith, to trust and believe, Lord, for these things to take place.